Okay, so let's continue. We're in Yesodia Torah, Perek Aleph. We left off with Halacha Ches. And recall that the Rambam made the point of saying in the previous Halacha, he was focusing on the idea of what the idea of Hashem Echad is, and why it's not just a quantitative idea, but it's actually qualitative in the sense that God's oneness is... something that makes him produces a certain uniqueness, unlike anything else. So now, in Halacha Ches, the Rambam points out. He says, "Hare mefurish b'Torah v'nevi'im she'ena kadosh baruch hu gufo gvia." Right. So he says it's open in the Torah and in the Nevi'im that God does not have a body or a form. Okay. She'nemar ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokim b'shemayim imal v'aretz mitachas v'guf liyeh b'shnei mekomos. All right. So one proof the Rambam wants to give, and it's important to keep this in mind because in the next halacha, he's going to explain how other verses which take God to be physical are meant to be understood. But here, what he's saying is that what's the problem? How could a physical being be both in the heavens and the earth? Or in other words, number one, you can't have a metaphysical being that somehow straddles both worlds. Physically, it can't be in two locations. So the very description of God in this instance buttresses the idea of God being not physical. As well, v'nemar ki lo re'isem kol tmuna, right? V'nemar v'almi tidam yuni v'ashve v'ilu haya guf haya dom l'shar gufam. So another set of psukim you see, which is basically saying nothing is like God, okay? Meaning nothing's comparable to God. But if God were physical, there'd be something that you can compare God to. So the fact that these psukim in both the Torah and the Nevi'im present God in a very unique way, that indicates that he's not physical and unique, unlike anything else. Okay, of course, as he's going to say in Halacha Ches, that's great. But the problem is, as we know, the Torah is filled with anthropomorphic descriptions of God. That's pretty clear. So, for instance, Im Kain, Moshe shekasu b'Torah v'tachas raglav, k'suvim be'etzba lokim, yad Hashem, einei Hashem, oznei Hashem. And we see that God is, for example, described as having body parts, right? Hands, eyes, ears. Right, all these are descriptions written in Tanakh. Hakol lefi daitan shel bnei adam hu she'einan makirin ela hagufos v'dibrei Torah kol hashem bnei adam. Okay, so this is a very famous principle, which is that while it's true that these things are creating an anthropomorphic description of God, what we have to understand is that this is done for our sake, because we have nothing. We need to relate to that which is physical in the world as a baseline to then establish an idea about God, okay? Because all we have around us initially is our empirical observations. So basically what he's saying is that the Torah speaks in the language of man because man, being a physical creature, sees the world in a physical way. So you start off with understanding God and using this physical terminology as a way of getting involved in understanding God, but ultimately God is not physical. This is about Kol Kinuyin Hem. So they're all like, literally it means nicknames, but it means they're all descriptions of, they're not meant to be taken literally. Shinemar, im shanasi b'racharbi. V'chicherv yeshlo, right? U'vecherv u'horeg, ela mashal v'kal mashal. So for instance, one pasuk says that God has a sword, okay? So we're going to tell me that God kills people with a sword? It's a mashal. So all these instances where you see in the Torah that God is being described physically, you should never take them literally. Okay, raya l'davar, so what's a proof? Shenavi echad omer shirah kadosh baruch hu levusha ketele chiver. So one navi said that he saw God as if he was wrapped in like white snow. Vechad ro chamutz begadam mibatzra. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu atzmo ro aliyam kegibur osa melchama uvesina kishliach tibur atuf. Right. So these are all instances where neviim, when they report their vision, so to speak, of God. Okay. They always talk about God in different ways. Whether it's a gibor osa melchama, like whatever that image is of a warrior fighting a battle, and another instance is being covered with a talis, what do you call it, chashliach tzibur. It is interesting, by the way, as an aside, that the Rambam, these instances of Moshe Rabbeinu are not actually written in the Torah. These are midrashic interpretations, which is a rare thing for the Rambam to do. But putting that to the side, the point here is that the fact that you see God in all these different images, in other words, meaning God's never consistent in how he's presented to a prophet. Lomar she'en lo demus v'tzura, ela hakol b'mara nevuah v'machazeh. Right, so it's to show you that God doesn't really have any type of form or image. Rather, this is all done in the, what do you call it, as a prophetic image, which we'll get to later on in Yesodei Torah when we do Nevuah. V'amita zadavar, okay, ain daitel sha'adam maven v'lo yichol lahasigo l'chakro. Okay, so now come, this is a transition point, but it's an important point to understand. That being the case, okay, meaning God is certainly not physical, what we need to understand is that the truth of God, the essence of God, okay, a human being is unable to perceive. He cannot understand it or investigate it. Or in other words, we can have no positive knowledge of God. Meaning once we define God as being not physical, okay, what that therefore means is that we're unable, okay, to ever actually have true positive knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zesh amar kasuv, ha-chaker eloka timsa im ad tachle shetai timsa. So what he shows in this last point here, and this is a very, very difficult point, something that requires, in a different format, a deeper discussion about, but the Rama maintains that it is impossible for a human being to ever actually have positive knowledge of God, okay? As you'll soon see, you can know what God isn't, but you can never actually know what God is, okay? If that's the case, so now in Halacha Yud, the Rambam explains, Ma'uzeh shebikesh Moshe Rabbeinu lahasig, kishamar harei nas kvodecha. But now we have a problem, because we know it says that, what it called, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Torah, that he wanted to understand God's kavod, which the Rambam understands to mean, bikesh leida mitas himatzol shakarash baruch hu, right? That Moshe wanted to know, right, God's essence. He wanted to have that positive knowledge of God. He wanted to know ultimately as to understand what God is. Okay, to the point achiye yadua belibo kemu yadias echa min anashim shira panav the nechatsu raso belibo. Right. So up to the point where God becomes familiar. In other words, he wanted this positive knowledge of God to hit a point where it will be internalized and familiar. Okay. In other words, nechatsu raso belibo means it's internalized, and now shenimsa osa ish nifra bedaita mishra anashim. To the point where, for instance, let's say I have a good friend named David, right? So when I know David, I can now differentiate David from everyone else. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand. He wanted to understand God to that point. Kach bikesh Moshe Rabbeinu lios mitzios haKadosh Baruch Hu nifredes belibo mishar hanimsam. So too, he wanted the knowledge of God's existence to be one that will be separate in his mind, right? Ach yeda mitas himatzo kasher hi. So he'd understand the idea of God as God is, separate from all the beings and created things in the universe. Okay? So it's interesting saying that that's what Moshe wanted to try and achieve. What does God answer him? Ve'heshivo baruch hu, shein koch b'das adam achai. Right? It's impossible, and this is also a very important point. Man was created in a way where it is impossible for him to have this knowledge. This has nothing to do with the level of intelligence you have, or how spiritual you are, or any of that stuff. It's all, it's not important. She'ein koach b'das adam achai, shu mechubar meguf v'nefesh, l'hasig amitas davar zeh al borav. So by the virtue of the fact that we are physical creatures, okay, which, again, we don't really know what a nefesh is yet. We'll get to that also later. But ultimately, since we are physical, bound to a non-physical, but let's focus on the physical part, it is impossible for us to have this type of knowledge. I mean, the knowledge, if it would be able to be obtained, can only be obtained if we were non-physical. But since we're tied to a physical body, it is an impossibility. So this isn't the kind of thing that a human being can overcome. You can't train for it. You can never hit a point where you'll be able to understand God. Asha, let me just finish the parak. So v'hodiya baruch hu, mashu lo yad adon lefanav lo yad alachara. So what did God do? So, and he gave Moshe information, okay, that only Moshe Rabbeinu would have. Okay, no person before or after ever had this information. So God did give him something unique, some unique knowledge, which we'll see what that is in a second, but it was only given to Moshe. Ad shehissek me'amitas himatzo davar shenifra dekadosh baruch hu b'dayta mishra nimsan. Okay, so he did give Moshe some way, right, to understand God in contrast to other things. K'moshe yipar echav in the nashim mishra achorav. Right, but in a different way. In other words, this type of knowledge, which the Rambam goes more into in the Morah Nevuchim, is that, in other words, it's that I would know somebody that I'd recognize them from behind. Okay, meaning if I saw someone from behind, I would know enough from looking at them behind who they are. Okay, That is a lower level of information than seeing someone face to face. Okay. Point being is that he gave Moshe some type of knowledge of God, but not positive, not knowledge of God's essence. That is an impossibility. And that's what the Torah means when it says that he saw God's quote unquote back and not his face. Okay, now comes an Alach Yud Aleph, the direct consequence of the Rambam's position, which is something that also is very controversial among Jewish thinkers. A lot of Jewish thinkers disagree vehemently with this idea. So he says in Alach Yud Aleph, "V'keva shenisbarash ein gufo kviya." So once you say that God is not physical, once that happens, once you make that statement, yisbarer shelo ya'ara lo echad mimuros ha'gufos. Okay, then any function, any physical characteristic or function, can't exist by him. Lo chibur v'lo pirud. So God can't come. There can't be a connection of God, so to speak, or separation. V'lo makom v'lo mida. No place or measurement. Lo alaya v'lo yirida, no going up or going down. Lo yamin v'lo small, God is no right or left. Lo panim v'lo achor, God is no face or behind. V'lo yeshiva v'lo amida, God doesn't sit or stand. Right? V'eino matzoi, okay, so those aren't so bad. V'eino matzoi bizman ad shiyo lo reishis v'acharis u'minyan shanim. That's a little trickier, but God is not found within time. Okay, he exists. Now again, the term outside of time itself, that very term, that God is outside of time, is something that the human mind can't truly comprehend because we are time-bound creatures. So we don't understand anything outside of time. But somehow, God exists out of time. Okay, v'ena mishtana. Now, here's the harder part. She'ein lo davar shirgam lo shinoi. And God never changes. It is impossible to change, that God undergoes a change. V'ein lo lo meis v'lo chayim kichaye gof achay. He doesn't die or live. Okay? V'lo sichlus v'lo chachma. He doesn't have ignorance or intelligence. Lo shina v'lo akitza, sleeping or awake. Lo kas v'lo schok, v'lo simcha v'lo atzvos. No emotions whatsoever. Anger, as laughter, emotions don't exist. V'lo shesika v'lo diber, kedibra b'nei adam. He doesn't speak, right? Nor is he quiet. V'kacham ruchachamam, ein l'mala lo yeshiva v'lo amida v'lo orav v'lo ipoy. So why is this so controversial? Because ultimately, there's an idea that exists among some people in their view, for instance, of davening, that we can change God, okay? Now, to be fair, okay, there's really two ideas in tefillah, and we'll deal with that also, what tefillah is down the road, but there is an idea in tefillah that I daven for something and God responds, okay? So doesn't that mean God is changing his mind? That's a phenomenal question, okay? And there is actually very, very rational, logical answers to understand what that is. But the key point here to understand is that the Rambam would say, no, that God does not change his mind because there's no changing. That can't exist. It also means that God, in no emotional way, so to speak, loves the Jewish people. The idea of God loving humanity or loving the Jews or being angry, all those things are impossible in this definition of God. Halacha Yud Beis, the whole of Adar Kenu, okay? So, and this is consistent with what we see in the Psukim in the Torah, called Var Molalu, Uchiyotza Behen Shenemru B'Torah of Devin Nevi'im, HaKol Mashal Molitza Hein. So understand, all these descriptions of God that exist in Tanakh, they're only mashal, they're metaphors, they're images of God, they're actually accurate descriptions of God. K'mo Shenemar, Yoshev Ma'in Yisrach, Kasuni Ba'avlehem, Kasha Sasha Shem, Uchiyotza Behen. Ala Kol Amru Chachamim, Dibra Torah Kolashim Ni'adam. So he ends this first parak with going back to this point. Understand that when you read the Torah, it's written in the language of man. V'cheinu omer ha'osi im ma'ahem machisim. Har yomer ani Hashem, lo shanisi. Right? V'ilu ha'ya... Again, for instance, one time it says that I am God, I don't change. V'ilu ha'ya pa'amim koeh, so pa'amim sameach, ha'yam ishtana. But if God was subject to changes in emotion, okay, sometimes angry, sometimes happy, he would change. V'chol dvar ma'ilu, eina mitzuin el gufim ha'afelim ha'shvalim, shokhni bati chomer, asher b'offer yisodam. So the idea of and you'll see why he says this later, but it's only those physical things who are low, who are like made of dust, right? Stuck in the physical world. Those are the ones who are subject to change, to decay. Okay, aval hu baruch hu yisbarach v'yisroel m'mal kol zeh. But God, he's above all this. Okay, so that's how the Rambam finishes the first parak. Okay, good. So now let's just start the second parak. Okay, let's do a couple of lachas here. Lacha Aleph. So that being the case, okay, Akel Anichba Vanora Hazeh. So we already know there's a mitzvah to know God, and like I was explaining before, there's a limitation in what that means. There's also a mitzvah La'avo Uliyira Oso. There's also a commandment to love and to fear God. Shedemar V'afta Es Hashem Elkecha, V'nemar Es Hashem Elkecha Tira. So the Torah explains to us that we must love God and we must fear God. Okay, but what does that mean? Okay, what does it mean to love God and to fear God? Halacha Beis. How does this come about? So what does a person do? He studies. He studies the natural world. Okay, it's very important to understand the Rambam mentions nothing here about Torah. Nothing. Doesn't say open up a Chumash, open up a Navi. He doesn't say and open up a Gemara. Doesn't mention any of that. He says, you look around the world, you look around what God's actions and his creations, the wondrous creations that God has made, and you see the wisdom in them, and you see that wisdom is really what he's considering to be infinite. Miyad hu ohev, umishabeach, umufara, umisabet, taivik gadola, leida Hashem agadol. So as soon as it happens, immediately the reaction a person has is, he loves, he wants to praise, he has this tremendous desire to know God, okay? So this is a very, very different way of looking at love of God. Okay, loving God in general, the term love always seems to imply something emotional. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying that through an analysis of the scientific world, right, a person will come to this point where he will want to pursue this information more. He has this tremendous desire to understand God even more. But then when a person actually reflects on that, okay, he goes from a state of desiring to know more, but understanding this tremendous, infinitely complex universe that we're in, okay, what happens? Hu nirsa l'achorav, the yifchad. The Yodea Shehu Bria Katana Shvela Afela Omedes Bedas Kala Meuta Lifnei Tamim Deos. So what happens? He falls backwards, like on his knees. He's scared, and he realizes that he is an insignificantly small creature, whose knowledge, right, is so minute in comparison to God's knowledge. Okay, so I'll answer all the questions in just a second. So what's Avas Hashem? What's Yiras Hashem? Avas Hashem is. But basically the Rambam I'm saying is that when a person sees the complexity and the wisdom of the physical construct of the universe, he desires to understand more about God. And at the same time, there's a psychological reaction to understanding that this such a complex universe, a person's forced to realize how insignificant he actually is in comparison to that. Okay? Kamo shamar David, ki yeresh mecha, maise etzvosecha, ma enosh ki tiskareno. Lefiyat dvar ma'elu, right, and based on this, ani mevar klolim gedolim mi meiser ibon olamim, right, kadesh you pesach lemevin leavos Hashem. So the Rambam is telling you that because this is so important, the Rambam is going to explain to you, okay, certain basic categories and principles of the scientific world. Okay, it's also metaphysical too, as you'll see, to have a better understanding of how to love God. Kemosh amru chachamim beinyan ava shemitochach atamakir smisha amar v'haya olam. And like the chachamim say, it's through loving God that you'll come to understand or recognize the God.